Welcome back to another episode of Dat Fitness Business Podcast. Tom Blackman with Dan Smith. Hello, Dan.
Hello. Hello, Tom.
Hello. And today we're talking about creating an offer for fitness coaching or online fitness coaches in gyms, creating your offer, building your offer so that you've got something that people actually want to buy rather than something you've just thought of. Dan, creating an offer. I know it's sort of like, that sort of term's a bit, there's no other way to describe it, but I always find that term's like a bit wanky, for want of a better word. You know what I mean? Like, what's your offer? Yeah. You know, I don't know. It doesn't seem right, but it's the right thing to say, but it doesn't seem like the right thing to say.
Yeah. It's almost that what you do with the clients you serve, but then you have to describe it in some way. So we're like, okay, tell me about what's your offer. It's got to tick these boxes. And I'm with you on that. There's a few phrases in this space that make me cringe and gag every time I say them. That's definitely up there. Moist. Like, funnel. Funnel makes me gag.
Funnel. Excellent. Yeah. It's because while we all use funnels in some ways, it just sometimes it doesn't seem right, does it? I don't know.
Oh, do you want my funnel? Like, just tell, just fuck off. Funnel.
It's like a first date.
Yeah.
You ready to
see my copy and paste funnel? You can just drag it into your business, and it's instant wins. Like, just piss off. Right?
That sort of stuff annoys me. Is when it's like, here's the funnel I use to generate 100 grand more profit. What, just the funnel? No, yeah. none of the content, none of the supporting stuff you did. This one funnel, this collection of emails and text messages, and, you know, wait till X equals that, and then send this email. That's what got you 100K.
Exactly. But it sounds good, doesn't it? Like the $1 million sales script. So this will get me $1 million, will it? Well, no, not really. Yeah. But
and you're only selling it for $7. Wow, that sounds like a bargain.
That kind of stuff is what I'm probably getting at in terms of the phrases and the way it's described. Maybe it's an English thing. Maybe it's just because we don't like talking like that, and maybe we should be a bit more American.
There is a lot of American style selling stuff, isn't there? Like. That comes in, but yeah, I mean, you're right. As British people, we don't actually like as a culture. You know, we wait in queues, don't we? If someone jumps a queue, we're very annoyed that they jumped the queue. Yeah, you know, we there's that sense of Britishness where sometimes selling isn't something that comes naturally, but it should be. Yeah. It should be if you've got a good product.
Exactly. Yeah, you've still got to. And the business, isn't it? It's a business at the end of the day. Otherwise, you just do it for free. But not very English if you talk about price points and offers and how good you are as a coach in your service. Like, people are like, oh, no, I don't want to tell people about that. Like, okay,
why? I don't want to tell people I'm a good coach. You just need to know.
Not very English.
Yeah. Okay, so a bit of a tangent again. We only just started in morning on tangents. So we're going to create this offer for our fitness business. We've opened, we're qualified, hopefully ready to go, ready to coach people. And, but the thing is, we can't just go and say, hey, do you want, some people just go, I'm taking clients who wants them DM me. And it's, and that's their offer online. What we really want to be doing is saying, rather than who wants some personal coaching, DM me, is we're looking at giving something to someone, like making a promise, delivering a product. That's the offer in the nutshell, isn't it? It's what we're going to give them, what they're going to get at the end.
Yeah, it's delivering the outcome, isn't it, based off the audience that you serve and the problems they've got, and then we'll deliver the outcome. Your coaching acts as the method to do that. And I get what you're saying in terms of like an offer for me isn't, I'm looking for three guys who want to drop fat and build muscle in the next 90 days without giving up alcohol or beers and burgers. And you're just like, all right. I mean, that's not an offer, is it? It's more, it's just a phrase or something.
It's what I call a hand raise. It's a saying, isn't it? Who's interested in this product? So your offer could be in that.
Yeah.
But that's not your offer. It's not like I'm looking for five guys who want to achieve one thing in 30 days. You know, that's not the offer. That's just the who's interested, and you're asking people to say hello. But a lot of people think that is the offer, and it really isn't.
No, because I think it's your offer. Yes, have a defined, clear offer that you can say to someone: this is what I'll do. This is how it works. This is where we're going to get you from this point here to here. We're going through this process, but then it should encompass everything around that. So your content, the way that you appear online, your authority, your credibility, the stuff you talked about, like your experience, your qualifications, like all that stuff should be combined, isn't it? And it's not just this, we don't just distill that down to a paragraph and go, all right, that's my offer. I just feel like that's a bit short-sighted.
Yeah. And we talked just before we went on air, God, we sound so professional. Before we started recording this Zoom chat, we talked about there's a few elements that come into it, isn't it? And before you've got your offer, as in, oh, you know, who wants my personal training or coaching, whatever, you've got to sort of dial that back. And, you know, a few podcasts ago, we talked about niche. And right back at the beginning, before you've got your offer, you've got to have what your niche is. Because it's no point saying, you know, who wants 100 vegan recipes if your niche is busy professionals who love eating chicken, for example.
Yeah.
So it's, you've got to, before you think about what my offer is going to be, but it'll come all the way back and say what the niche is and what their problems are, who you're serving, like you said, and then what's their top five problems, for example, which you can solve with the offer. And work that way rather than thinking, oh, I've just got something to sell and I'll just sell it. I'll just put it out.
Yeah. But once you know that, everything becomes easier. You've got their problems. That's why we bang on about that all the time. And then you also maybe got their fears in there, like things that they're worried about, because people want to move away from that, don't they? It's easier to get someone to move away from pain and fear.
Yeah, you've got to marinate them in their pain. Remember that. There's another buzzword: marinate them in their pain before you hit them with the big ticket offer.
Really, like to stick the knife in and twist
yeah,
and then cut through.
So with the back away from buzzwords, we're going to get shut down on YouTube. So when you come back to the offer. So your 100 problems or problems you've created for your problems your clients have, then they're going to have, like you said, certain fears, certain pain points, certain things that they're currently experiencing. And they're in one area and they presumably want away from that stuff. So they want to be in another area. So, and I know you talk in yours about, is it two islands?
Yeah.
Yeah. In mine, I talk about the space. So it's almost like you could imagine like a cliff or something like that. But the premise is the same across all business coaching. It's where they are now, where they want to be, and what's in between is this sort of this sea of despair, the gap, the space, whatever people want to call it. And getting from where they are to where they want to be, that's what they can't do.
Yeah.
So they need to traverse that space or that sea. And as a coach, you're going to help them do that. Would that be a fair summary?
Yeah. And this is nothing groundbreaking or new. It's built
around for years, isn't it?
Yeah. It's marketing, isn't it? But it's also how humans work from a point of emotion and the way that they think about things is if they've got this problem here and they want to solve it and they know that, okay, how do I do this? And if I can do that through buying this thing or investing in this, that is how we're not doing anything here to trick people. This is how people, that's how humans work. It's the emotional side of things. So, I went to an event on Friday, like an in-person social media event. And then to see this live in action, even though you know this happens, you know all the stuff that people go through, you still can't feel you can't stop yourself from feeling like, actually, I need this thing because you've told me all this stuff and you've ticked all these boxes. And I know the stuff to look out for. They had the backstory, they had the authority and all that stuff. And it was really good the way it was put across. And I'm going, I know all this, but then I'm like, I still want this thing because he's talking about some stuff. But so it's part of it in psychology. It's within us. So if you can do that well, you can get that across in your offer. That's why I talk about it being not just this phrase, because if you think about that, it's just you're missing out on everything else. So all of these things together combined to create how effective your offer is.
Yeah. So, and the other thing about an offer is a lot of people get confused between features and benefits. So people will say, for example, oh, you get 24/7 WhatsApp support, and which you should never say, but 24/7 WhatsApp support, you get, I don't know, a diet plan, you get this, all these sort of things. And in fitness coaching, it's pretty similar, isn't it? Everyone has some sort of contact method. Everyone has some sort of training plan, some sort of way to look at your food, maybe some habits, that sort of thing. Those things are fairly standard. And people have seen that 100 times, wouldn't they? They'll say, oh yeah, diet plan, blah, blah, blah. How does that distinguish you from the other people? It doesn't. What does distinguish you from other people is the benefits. And that's what you should be talking about, not the things they're going to have to do or things they're going to, you know, the tools they're going to get. It's the what they're going to achieve at the end, what they're going to learn, what they're going to develop as a result.
Yeah. But I just said this, I mean, I've created some content on this in the past, but I was like, the easiest way to do this is to stop selling online coaching. Just stop like saying you're an online coach, because one, no one really cares. And also there's thousands of online coaches. So start to think about the way you do things and what makes that different. And you talked about it there, the benefits. So going in on those, looking at the really key benefits and identifying what ones are most important, which ones resonate most with your audience, and going in on those. And then also having something that is understandable for the audience, so talking their language, right? Because if you're completely using this technical slang and jargon, it's not gonna connect. So use stuff that people can relate to within how you put that across as well.
Yeah, like people talking about like hypertrophy workouts, it's like just, no one uses hypertrophy or hypertrophy if you're American. Interestingly, I did a post about that a little while ago about like hype, because you know when like you're hyperactive, you know, that sort of thing, or you're hypersensitive, so it should be hypertrophy. And some absolute bard come back with, actually the Latin interpretation of blah, 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 is hypertrophy. I was like, what? It was just a joke, mate. It was just a joke. A long post about that, like anyway,
yeah.
Back to the topic. Yeah, but no one talks about hypertrophy or hypertrophy workouts. People talk about workouts for building muscle, or I want to gain muscle, I want to gain strength. You know, I'd like to be stronger. You know, I don't want to optimize my mitochondrial biogenesis. You know, which is getting fitter. You know,
depends on the audience. might be.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if you know, I know you work with some very sports specific people, but then even then. Their clients are not going to be people who use those terms.
I do find that I've worked with quite a few coaches now where we've had to, you know, read this back. Is this something you understand this, but ultimately your audience don't talk like this? They don't use these words. So just take that, strip it out, go right back to basics and just talk about how they, and also go to the places where they are hanging out and where they're commenting on things. And if it's one really good one, I can't remember who told me this ages ago, and I started looking at it in terms of reviews, Amazon reviews, TripAdvisor reviews, things like that. And you can see how people talk in the in the comments. You get the language then and use that. Yeah, it's a really good one.
Yeah, or using Hemingway, isn't it? Yeah. Hemingway is a good one because it will suggest words that are simpler to understand. So if you write your copy in Hemingway, which is a free online, it's an online app, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can write all your copy into it. And if there's any words that are overly complex, it will tell you that. And then you can just change them. It's another little sort of tip.
Yeah. But yeah, other than that, apart from the, when I say about the online coaching, is if you can come up with your way of doing something, your method, your program, whatever you want to call it, your protocol, whatever it is, if you can do that, then that instantly becomes your way of doing it. And if you do work with people using specific techniques, or you go through a process, you know that it's quite similar with people. I know you, before anyone comes at me, we work with individuals. Yeah, you do. But if you're working with a set audience, right, you'll know that they're going to come with similar problems. So if you can create your program around that, they're going to go through a similar roadmap. So create your own roadmap around that. One, that helps you get better results because you've got a framework you can use and you can manage that and you can tweak it accordingly depending on the results that come through. You get better results. The clients have a better service as well. You get better buy-in. Just trying to think about it rather than just going, I do online coaching, app, 24/7 contact, get a recipe book. Yes, brilliant.
Get some infographics for calorie swaps. So do you want chocolate? Have salary instead. There's 100 of those. Their coaching sounds like fun.
Yeah. So that for me is one of the big things we work on with creating this for coaches is coming up with their own way of doing it. And like it's hard sometimes to get people to break away from that because they almost feel, oh, I haven't got anything that's different, or I'm not unique. I haven't got like a USP. I haven't got this unique selling point. And you're like, well, you have, really. Even if you're the most boring person out there, there's something you've got. And it doesn't mean that you, when I talk about unique, you don't have to have this weird and wonderful way of working with people. You just have something that you do that's specific to the audience you serve, and you help them go through this process. And that could be that you use a certain methodology within your program, or you are really key on like attention to detail, or you go off above and beyond with some of the things that you provide for them. I don't know what it is. It could be anything, but we'll find it. And then you can build your program around that. So you don't blend in like a sea of vanilla custard.
Vanilla custard. So what you're describing there is like the model, isn't it? So the model they're going to use for, and I don't know, I'm big on models. I like models because it's the easiest way, I think, to, you know, when someone says, oh, what do you do in your coaching? I can get out a piece of paper and basically draw, build business. I can draw the model that I use. And when you say to people, let's say, you know, if you're talking about people who are, you know, let's say in the body coaching element. So it's normally they need some sort of training, they need some sort of nutrition schedule, and they probably need some way of adhering to that. You know, that's the secret, isn't it? Holy Trinity.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, you could explain that quite simply, or you could say, yeah, here's the three elements. This is the things you're going wrong, and this is what we're going to solve. If you can draw that or present that within like a minute, or draw, you know, if you draw on a blackboard or whatever, you could do it that way, or a whiteboard if you're in the 2000s, or you have like a model that you can send them to say, here's basically where you're going wrong, and here's how we're going to fix it. People get models a lot easier than you just talking to them to say, what we're going to do is this, then we're going to do this, then we're going to do this. And by the time you've got to, like, I don't know, the third sentence, they're like, because they're just trying to comprehend all this stuff, which you know, but they're seeing for the first time or hearing for the first time. You know, imagine talking to someone for that amount of time. And then at the end, you go, any questions? And they go, no, because I don't want you to confuse me anymore.
Nice.
I don't want to buy. See you later. Yeah.
Visuals is definitely a big part of this, isn't it? We learn by seeing, like, by using visuals. So yeah, big fan of that. And then also you've got the other benefit of being able to send that to people. So with the game, we've got coaches who will create these things, and then someone will inquire and they'll go, oh, just can you tell me a little bit more how it works? And I'll just go, 2 seconds, I'll just send you this roadmap over. Maybe it's got a video of you going through it, even better, like videos and visuals as well. Right? And then they go, oh yeah, freaking out, I'm in, like sign me up. Sometimes they don't even have a call. They just sign up because they've seen everything they need to. And then obviously you might have a call later on to get all your information. But
yeah. One of the best things I've implemented in my coaching businesses is exactly that. It's only a very basic Google Docs, but it's got the model on it and the areas we're going to solve. And if someone inquires, we have a little conversation first to check they're the right sort of people. If they are, I normally say, well, let's book a call. But then what I'm going to do is going to send you the outline so you can have a look at it. And if you've got any questions before our call, send them over. Now, I would say 8 times out of 10, I've sent that thing over to them. And because they've been pre-qualified, as in they're the right people, 8 times out of 10, we get on the call and they're like, yeah, all looks good. Let's start. And all that, you know, people worry about like getting on the phone and selling to people and being too salesy, and people are afraid of sales conversations. You know, if people have inquired, they probably want to buy. It's just what you say to them is either going to confirm that or turn them off. So if you've got your offer written out nice and clearly and people inquire, you make sure they're the right people, ask them a few questions and send them that, and they read it, and they still then, after looking at all that and looking at the price, want to get on the call, you know, that call is going to be incredibly easy in my experience. And that's the major thing I've incorporated in the last year, which has been a massive change for like how many programs I sell and also overcoming objections.
Yeah, agree with that. You can do so much of it, can't you? Because you could, like you said in that example, we build these into our sequences now when people do book calls anyway. So they book a call, then they get emails that will send this information across in different formats. So text, video, and there's a form in there, I think, as well. So we're trying to capture everything before they get on a call. And then I'm like, okay, you know how this works. what do you want to know?
And do you know what I think from that as well? Because people, especially if you're British, you're always very wary about sales calls, aren't you? It's like, oh, what's this guy going to try and, what's some bullshit this guy is going to try and spin me to sell? There's always that thing in the back of your mind, isn't it? You know, yeah. When you walk into Currys to get a TV, if you ever do that anymore, the salesman comes out, can I help you? No, I don't want any help, even though you do want help, because you don't want to be sold to. You don't want to have this rhetoric thrust at you. Whereas if you've got it in front of you, almost like a landing page, but it's a bit more personal, it's a lot easier to read through and then make the decision if you're, firstly, if you can afford it, but also if what they're promising, their offer sounds good.
Yeah.
And then if you've got a call booked like the next day, I mean, they can message you and say, do you know what? It's just, that's too much money for me. You go, okay, well, you could manage those objections, but if it's blatantly, they haven't got the money, you've saved yourself a call there. But if they still want to get on the call and talk about the price, you know, there's, I think that's a lot easier way of doing it for me anyway, and for, you know, my clients.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Definitely. I'll be honest though, this has evolved over time, because it's not something that when I started, this was all in place and we had everything there and it was just seamless and it all worked. And I think that's important to get across, that coaches will panic so much about not having this completely nailed, and it's not like this is like completely like how it should be and it's all watertight, we've got everything sorted, this is my concrete offer that everyone's barks on about, you need to have a firm solid offer. And you're just like, well, this has evolved over the last 8-9 years. It's like that wasn't there at the beginning, and you get better at doing that as you learn from working with people. So I just urge coaches to not think, well, I'm going to put off doing anything until I've got this offer now. It's like, because then you'll never get anything done.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you're just starting out, you should absolutely be getting on the phone calls with people, because how else are you going to determine what your ideal customer wants? And if you're in your first year of coaching business, and I remember when I was in my first year of coaching business, I would have probably a half hour meeting with people before I even mentioned any talk about like coaching, because I wanted to find out what their problems were. And I think you should spend that time, especially if you're starting out. And if you ask the right questions, you'll see the same things coming up and up and again. And then you can put that into what your offer is going to be. But at the beginning, you won't know all that. Even if you might theoretically know it because you've done your 100 questions or whatever, 100 problems. But until you actually get people on the phone and ask them what they're having trouble with, you won't know if your offer is 100% or right there or not.
Yeah. Yeah, I've learned so much from just having calls over the years anyway. The more calls, I used to see them as, you get better at doing calls, you get better at speaking to people and you work your own flow and structure out. But the amount of information I've got from calls and content and even if someone's not signed up, I see it as in like, this is great. I've been able to have an opportunity to speak to someone. They've told me all these things that they're struggling with. Wicked. So that's content for me. I can use that as research as well.
Mm. Yeah, and some people you get on the call won't be right for your offer, which or right for your business. And I think it's really important. Is I think we discussed this on a previous podcast. Is when you get some people on the call, it is to not bend your business to suit that person. I mean, obviously, if you're getting like 100 people on the call and they all want the same thing, you probably should change your business model to accommodate that. But if it's like if you've got something set up and someone says, "Oh, but can you do this?" If it's not within your remit to do that, or not within your ability to do that without really, you know, if it's going to really compromise your business, don't do that. You've got to be, once you've got that offer in place, it's like, well, there's the offer. Oh, can you do this? No, that's not what I do. This is what we're doing.
Yeah.
And like, you shouldn't bend your business because it will just be hassle.
Yeah, you always regret it. I've done that before as well. You've taken people on where you're like, oh, we'll just make it work. And I can't think of a time when it actually has been beneficial.
No. And that is where the client is dictating how you're working.
Yeah.
So say if you have a client who says, oh, but I want 3 meals. Let's say, for example, I want 3 meals a day of chicken and rice. Okay. You could probably do that. But if you're someone who encourages flexible eating and someone who encourages, you know, wide choice of foods and, you know, being flexible with how you're constructing your day, so you're not tied into this rigid diet. Yeah, you could do that, but then the rest of your coaching doesn't make sense because your coaching is based around flexible eating and they want 3 set meals a day of chicken and rice, for example.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It goes on anything like that. So if you work specifically on building muscle or strength in the gym, and then someone comes and they want, can you help me run a marathon? I'm like, no, there's definitely someone better to help you with that. Yeah. Let me tell you who that is. That happened last week, actually. One of the guys contacted, he said, do you know anyone who is good with like the running training thing? I'm running a marathon. I don't know. I've lost my way a little bit. And yeah, I referred on to someone else. Like, definitely.
Yeah, I think having a clearly defined what your terms of business and your limits as a coach, that's so important, isn't it? I've had people ask me about like triathlons and stuff like that. I'm like, well, do you know what? I've done that theory when I did my qualification, I don't know, 7 years ago or something. So I know the theory, but could I coach that? Nah. And it's just going to be hassle because I'm going to have to do more reading and I'm just going to have to do this, that, the other. I know the principles, but the actual putting it in place and being knowledgeable as a coach, it's not me. So yeah refer on.
I've also had the coaches who come into the mentoring and there's a process for how we work in communication. We've got channels for this and a Slack group for it, and that's where the communication is. And then they basically set up a separate, they won't listen to this anyway, I don't care anyway. They set up a separate WhatsApp group and they were like, no, we're going to do the communication through here. I'm like, well, that's not how it works. We've got this separate one for this. So what it ended up being was I would only communicate through this channel and they were like here. So it didn't work. It didn't work in the end. So you're like, you have to be... That's what I mean about bringing the right people in, but also they understand that this is how the process works, because it's like you said, it's your business. This is how you're running it. Otherwise, they were like, no, we just set up a WhatsApp group. It's easier for us. I'm like, yeah, but that's not how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got to fit your level of coaching. It's like people who want to do, let's say, high ticket coaching. I want to work with, you know, I want to charge like $5,000 for whatever, for a personal training program. Okay. You go off and do that then. Because that's not what I coach. You know, I don't coach selling $5,000 personal training packages. It's just, yeah, it's not something I get involved in. I know there's obviously coaches who sell that sort of program and sell that sort of coaching and everything else, but that is like a lot of that time is high pressure sales and it's, you know, promising what you can't deliver. Maybe we should talk about that. So in your offer, don't promise what you can't deliver. So if you're going to say, oh, we're going to do 3 live calls a week, well, then make sure you do those 3 live calls a week. Don't say, oh, I can't make today's call because I'm filming a social media video or something like that. Make sure you've got, say, for example, when we did 7-11-4, we had a weekly like a start off call, like kickoff call, didn't we? And then like a Friday afternoon one. And we set those in place, put it in our diary to help people. So make sure you do those sorts of things. And also make sure that there's a reason why you do that. Like a live call once a week, good. 5 live calls a week every day. No reason to do that. It's just wasting your time. Mm-hmm. Make sure you don't offer stuff which is not necessary, but you think people want.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that comes into this a little bit more with, because you, once you've got these bits in place, you can then price this accordingly and come up with how you want to position that for your offer. But I do feel like that comes up quite a bit where it's like, wait, I want to charge this amount of money. So I need to be putting all these things into it. So we need to be having access to all this stuff, live calls and daily messages, whatever it is. You put all that stuff into it and then instantly your price point then becomes smaller because the amount of stuff you've got in there now from a work perspective. So for your time that you're putting into this, if you've worked out on like an hourly rate, then that just gets less and less and less because you've got all these things going on. So it's just being aware of that, like what's actually needed.
The price is not dependent on the features, is it? We talked about features and benefits just now. You know, let's say your offer is like, you know, 997, for example, right? 997 is not what you put into it. It's not the 5 live calls a week. It's not the, you know, I'll call you at 7 a.m. to make sure you're out of bed and in the gym, that sort of thing. That's not the 997. The 997 is I will get you absolutely shredded with loads of muscle and super confident with women, for example, or men, whatever. You know, that's the 997, isn't it? That's the offer, not all the things that go into it. You know, if to get that like super confidence, great body result just means they do 2 workouts a week and they have 1 15-minute call with you a week, but that gives them that result, well, then that's you've made it value for money.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. And that's where it comes back to all those points, isn't it? And say everything working together, because they have to see enough value in that to go, actually, this is what I'm investing in. It's not the app or the features and things that come with it. I mean, I want the outcome, which you put across from, yes, your offer, but knowing your audience, authority that you build, the consistency that you've got in terms of where you're showing up in platforms and that side of things, all drives into that, because otherwise it's hard for someone to then see that, because they will just put it to, oh, what am I getting for this? What do I get? You're like, well, it's not about that. It's about the outcome that you want. Yeah.
Yeah, it's when people ask for like a breakdown. So you know, when you say, oh, let's go with the 997 thing again, right? So it's 997 for this transformation. Oh, could you just break that down for me, please? Yeah, okay, here we are. Right, to get into incredible shape and have an awesome body, that's 997. To continue being a fat fuck, that's nothing.
Yeah. But can you just break down like what I actually get for it?
Nah, yeah,
you're not right for this.
Yeah. It's when people like, because but what then we got people trying to haggle with you to say, oh, okay, but I don't need 2 calls a week, so if I just have 1, that means that's 497. Yeah, no, that's not correct. So never break down your service into like 2 calls, because people do this, don't they? They go, like 2 calls a week, value, I don't know, £2,000, you know. Recipe book value £50,000, you know, that with their value stack or whatever, and they do all these things to value stack it. But then that's a good marketing way to do things. However, what you get is people coming back. If you don't do it right, you get people coming back going, don't need the recipe book, so take £50,000 off that. So now you got to pay me for your 997.
Yeah, you got to do it right, like by putting that amount of effort into the benefits like you're selling before that, and that becomes part of how you can make this offer look even more incredible.
I think there's a good book on that, isn't it? I think I don't think you put me onto it, someone else. I read Launch, by the way. That was a good book. It was the, I think it's the Alex Hormozy book, the $100 million offers. Which a lot of people might have read listening to this, but in that he talks about like value stacking your offer up so it's not a commodity, And that's what we're talking about here, isn't it? Is commoditize, don't commoditize your offer. So commoditizing is where you've got like two PT sessions a week, two calls a week, recipe book, diet plan, and you've itemized them all out. So now that's a commodity which you can negotiate on. Whereas if you've got like, get the fit body, super confidence with the opposite sex or the same sex, that's 997. And all these other things we're going to throw in as well. Yeah. That's the way to do it, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Agree with that. Nice.
And I did this at the gym with ministry, because we obviously, when you go to a gym, most people go, oh, what's the membership? And it's like, oh, it's 45 quid. Okay, but this gym down the road is £27. And you could go into, yeah, but that's a shit gym full of wankers, blah, 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 CrossFit, that sort of thing. You could say all that sort of stuff, but that doesn't resonate with people. Like, yeah, but the price is £45 compared to 27. So what we did instead was like, the membership price is this, and it's an awesome gym, you know? However, what also we do is we cap our memberships, no overcrowding. We have VIP passes, which is worth 120 quid a month. You got recipe books, because we do a recipe book. And there's all these other things, you know, that you get in your membership, which there is a value to that if you bought it separately. And all of a sudden now, no one complains about the price of ministry, because they're always, and which no one really did anyway, but there's not that comparison, because gym down the road, £27, is just a gym. Whereas we are a full body transformation facility.
That's different.
I'm trying to get at is this what your coaching should be?
Yeah. That's like the online coaching thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Stop being an online coach. Do what you just said. But it's the gym equivalent, isn't it? So, yeah, make yourself stand out then.
Yeah, because honestly, the people who've come into ministry and said, oh, all this stuff, I can't believe that this is included in the membership. Yeah, you know, free diet plan, free. We do body scans and all that sort of stuff. You know, we do consultations. All that stuff's free. Well, including the membership. And people do, and that's what you want to get is people going, wow, that sounds like an absolutely incredible offer. Yeah. I would be absolutely stupid not to buy.
Yeah. We just had the whole sales page written, rewritten actually for the mentoring. And but before we didn't have anything like, we've got seven, I didn't even realize this, I should have known this, but we've got seven experts. So we've based the whole thing
seven.
Around.
You,
yeah,
always enter the seventh.
Can't get any more now.
I got to say, you pull up.
Seven.
Unless you had 97.
That's the next one. But it's based all around that now, because when people join, we've got testimonials of coaches saying that they didn't understand that that's actually what they got access to and the areas that they could get help with. So for us, we were like, well, that's a big thing, because I don't see anyone else really talking about that. So I'm going to talk about that and make it different. So yeah, just trying to think of those things that you've got that are huge benefits that you can really go in on. Yeah.
And again, it's that you've decommoditized your coaching business, because now your coaching business is not like, whatever, 400 quid a month, whatever. I don't know what it is. You know, it's not, oh, it's 400 quid a month to work with Dan. It's whatever. Let's say 400 quid a month to work with all these other people who are all experts who are going to enhance my business. Yeah. That's then not I'm paying someone for a one-to-one. That's I'm investing in my business with all these experts coming in, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I like that. I'll have to copy that, I think, at some point. I'll do eight. be like, you know, like someone who had 6 minute abs and the person who came up with 5 minute abs is the winner. You've got seven experts. I'm going to have eight. I'm going to have an expert in high ticket sales.
Oh, man.
Whose advice would just be double your revenue.
Yeah.
And make sure it ends in a seven. offers then. So have we missed anything here? Because I think we're coming up to time. We've done decommoditizing. We've done make sure your offer relates to your niche. We've done making sure you speak to your niche to make sure that what you're offering is the right thing. What else should we be thinking about with our offers?
I think those are the key areas. The only other thing I'd maybe add is, it depends on what you do again, but is there any way you can guarantee or kind of bolster that offer in some way or another? Not to say
like a money back guarantee or something.
Yeah, potentially, or some way of just, because when you think about all those things before it, they're like the key areas. And then this, for me anyway, like the guarantee kind of just like encapsulates everything. But again, I think it depends on the offer and what, who you're working with. Potentially, is it needed? But it's always just an option to think about, I think, maybe.
Yeah, I think the I think with Build Body, I do have a I think it's a 30-day money back offer, and I've only ever had two people request the money as in the money back. And the reasons they were given was, well, the first lady apparently spent the money without her husband's permission. I was like, that's not a dynamic I want to get involved in then. Okay, so, you know, not doing that. And the other guy was someone who seemed like the right offer, like the right person. And as soon as we started doing the coaching, there was, oh, can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? Like trying to change the offer. Trying to change the way I do business, which didn't appear in the conversation. That's potentially my fault. So those two people got a refund. Apart from that, I've had that 30-day money back guarantee in place for over a year, and only two people have bought it. And I think, like you said, it's got to be. It's not like, oh, this is the main thing. It's like the cherry on the top, isn't it? And yeah. I think the way, if you're going to do any sort of money back guarantee or whatever else, is not to guarantee, say, a certain amount of weight loss, or like you said, like a certain result, like, you know, you'll add 100 kilos to your bench, that sort of thing, because you can't guarantee that for everybody. But what you can guarantee is that if it's not right for you, if we get into coaching and it's just not, we don't feel it's working, it's not right, then within the first 30 days you can ask for money back. The reason I set it for 30 days is that generally, the longer you give a guarantee for, the less people take advantage. Because if you've not solved someone's problem or helped solve some problem in 30 days, probably something wrong either with your coaching or with the coaching clients, which should see the end of the coaching anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good way of doing it. Definitely.
The way to word that is, rather than saying, I'll give you a 30-day money-back guarantee, is word it in a, oh, what's the worst that can happen? You know, worst that can happen is you spend your money in 30 days, you realize it's not for you, you get your money back.
Hmm. Yeah.
What's the best that could happen? You get an absolutely incredible body.
Yeah. Yeah. Frame it differently. Use creative copy. Yeah.
Which is truthful. You know, if those people, they didn't feel it was for them and they wanted the money back, I was like, no problem. You know, have it back. Because again, we don't want clients who are going to be stressful to work with or are going to cause us more issues. I'd much rather give the money back and then part on good terms rather than trying to muddle through like something like that. So yeah, money back guarantee, you can give it. Sometimes it, again, I've only had two people out of a lot of people in the last year ask for their money back.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. Like I say, it's probably not, maybe not needed all the time, but
no. So for my one-to-one coaching, I don't offer that because one-to-one is much more in depth and I spend a lot more time talking to people before we have the signer, and my one-to-one is a lot more money, whereas Build is more of an entry level cost price, so people can sign up after just reading the document. Whereas with the one-to-one work, I will always have at least a half hour in-depth call with them before we start, just to make sure that they are the right person, I can get the results.
Good way of doing it. I like that.
Yeah. Just the other side of that is you don't have to refund a grand, do you? That hits you right in the feels, doesn't it?
Yeah. I just on this, I worked with a high ticket specialist years ago, and their guarantee was that you pay half the money now and then you only pay the other half when you've got, it was like 20 clients or something. Anyway, nothing worked. It didn't work. So, and I paid the other half because I had to go and meet this guy in person. He's like, I'll come with you a day and I'll set this stuff up. And it was just, thinking back to it, it was really shit. But actually at the time I was like, oh, it's amazing. And so I ended up paying him all the money. And then I was like, mate, this hasn't worked. So I don't think I should be paying you the rest of that money. And then he had to refund half the money. So I did get half of it back, but yeah.
How much was it, just out of interest?
About $4,500.
Total?
Yeah.
Wow. Now that is a high ticket offer, isn't it? And it didn't work at all?
All it was ClickFunnels landing page through to Facebook ads. And that's $4,500 without the ad cost. So the ad spend was probably, I think we were at that time anyway, it was about £50 to £100 a day on ads. And I was speaking to people, they were booking calls, but they weren't the right people, or they weren't interested. So
I had a similar experience with some Facebook ads, which went to Messenger, and the targeting was off, and the people that come into conversation were like, you know, do you do kettlebells? And at the time I was like, no, I absolutely don't. It says specifically it's gym based, you know, bodybuilding workouts. Oh, okay. Or they would say like, oh, you know, do you do in-person training? You're in New Zealand. How am I going to do that? I'm in Bristol, UK. Oh, not that anyone was in New Zealand, but that was the sort of thing, you know, it's like.
Yeah. Yeah. That is just a little, that's an experience of mine. So.
Lovely. Yeah, so that offer wasn't good then, but you did get your money back, so the money back guarantee sort of worked.
I don't think he would have given it to me unless I actually said, right, it's not working, is it? So
and that's the thing, if you're gonna offer a no hassle money back guarantee, if someone asks something about it, you go no problem, and then just do it. None of this, oh, because there was a few I know where Amy Porterfield is one for this, where her money back guarantee is dependent on you doing all these things, and if you haven't done all those things, there's a tiny clause in her payment contract or whatever that says you can't get your money back, and then they pursue you for the payments, which is quite sneaky.
Well, I'm sure there's probably a few in the fitness space who do that.
Yeah, I mean she's not in that. She's in the course selling space. But there's a lot of people who do that. It's like got loads of fine print for their for their money back guarantee. Just like, if you don't like it, get your money back 100%. You know? Yeah. Easy.
Yeah. See it, man.
I think we've covered most things here. Great. And we're just coming up to 12. So let's round it off there. Dan, quick one about where people can find you. Not on the basketball court at the moment.
I'm supposed to play tonight. I don't think it's a good idea. Dan, Strong Collective, anywhere.
Cool. And Tom Blackman _ nutrition, or Tom Build Coaching on Instagram. Tom Blackman, pretty much everywhere else. Yeah. Okay. Great, Dan. Thanks for today. And we will be back next week with another information-packed... What's that? Is that the ramble at the end?
It's more stuff. Yes. That's it.
Right. I'll see you later on. Cheers, mate.
Bye.